Looking back on my now 20, almost 26 years of being a parent, and I had fun thinking about those times in my past with my kids when they were little, and what it was like to hear my name, and to hear one of my children to the point of irritation say, as this tiny person looked up at me and wanted me to pick her up, and she said, "Up, up, 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 up. You've got 2 feet, 2 legs, stand on your own," was my not so loving response. And then my wife said to me, "Honey, she won't always ask to be picked up." And that changed my life that day when she was a teensy little person. And it's a little embarrassing today in her 20s when I asked to carry her in my arms. And she goes, "Dad, that's creepy. That's really, really weird." But you get the idea. Parenting is for you who have parents, which I'm pretty sure is 100% of us, right? How many were born without parents? No hands, right? Of course, you have parents and you know what it's like. Whether they're present, whether they're gone, whether they were present along the way or not. I'm touching on lots of reasons why today's topic is incredibly relevant. How many of you have children? Raise your hand if you have children, okay? So, not everybody, of course. Lots of hands went up. I do have another memory I want to tell you about. It was many years later. The same daughter was 10 years old, and it's just one of the very funny memories. I was writing my message and studying and thinking about, you know, honoring, you know, honor your father and mother, the fifth commandment. And I got to this memory when Carrie Ann was 10. She was 10 years old, little, you know, preteen for sure. And I came home. She was sitting at the computer in our house. We had this computer, and it was not a laptop, but a desktop, so you know, you're there to do work on your, or I don't know what she was doing. But I walked in, and it was evening, and she looked up from the screen and looked over at me. Sort of, I caught her attention at that moment, and she exclaimed, Daddy, you look good today. And then, of course, that caused a reaction in me, a smile, kind of like, hey, these colors work for me, or whatever, you know, that kind of moment. You had that? Anybody else had that experience, right? Right? So you're going, "Oh, okay, it's from a 10-year-old. You look good today." And then she smiled, and then she added, "You don't look as old as usual." And I stopped in my tracks, and I asked, of course, what did you mean when you said you don't look as old as you? She says, "Daddy, it's nothing personal. It's just that sometimes you look really old." And I found myself going, "Well, thank you, gifted child, for sharing that wonderful word of encouragement with me in this stage of life." But it reminded me of the fact that honoring is something that you either learn. You don't come into it automatically. It's not a guarantee. It's not something that's just sort of natural. It's something you have to be taught. And we had a fun little conversation, and she goes, "I didn't mean anything by it. I was just saying you look younger than normally you look." Anyway, it's a playful moment for me. It's a fun memory. It made me laugh. As I thought about the words that are in front of us today, to honor your father and mother. Exodus 20 is where I just turned to in my Bible. And if you want to turn there right now, while you're on your way there, you will find the complete list, by the way, of these, what we call laws of love, 10 commandments. They are, we've dubbed them laws of love for reasons that will be obvious yet again this morning. But the complete list is in Exodus 20. If you've been part of this study up to this point, I'll just refresh your memory by saying that God met with Moses, and in that meeting, a series of meetings, he, with his own finger, wrote on 2 tablets of stone these 10 words, if you will, these commandments. And in the first tablet, which we've covered up to this point, is a series of commands that have to do with our relationship with God. Directly, what I've called vertical. These are commands that say, look, if you're open to the page now, you can see the first one in verse 3, you're not to have any other God before me. The next one, verse 4, don't make idols that distract you from your focus on me. Verse 7 picks up on the third of these vertical commands. Don't trash my name. Don't talk trash about me. Don't misuse my name. And then the fourth one is spend time weekly in Sabbath. Okay? Don't forget the Sabbath. And all of those, we could say, are meant to enhance and enrich the vertical, our relationship with God. Then if you will, I'm not sure that they were written exactly this way. There are probably five on one tablet would be my guess, and five on the other, but maybe not. Those first four are vertical. Then we go horizontal. Let's call that the second tablet. And on this second tablet are a series of six commands that have to do with our relationship horizontally with humans, people that we know. And it happens to be on this particular command that starts that second list. It's a command, the only one in the ten, that has an explicit promise attached to it. Both in the Old Testament, where we're reading it here in Exodus 20, and in the New Testament, when you read it in Ephesians chapter 6, which is why I chose the title, How to Live Long and Prosper. Right? Do you see my hand? Anybody else know how to do this? You fancy people. Which is a Vulcan, right? They're called the Vulcans. Yeah, and it's from the Star Trek show. That's not what I mean here, and that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. I just thought it was an incredibly descriptive way of describing what God has to say about this, the fifth command. Honor your father and mother, because the promise that's not implicit, it's explicit. That is, it's stated for us, is that you will live long. That's in Exodus. And Ephesians chapter 6 adds, and prosper. Okay? Now, just for the record, I have never once watched a single episode of Star Trek. Does that make you think weird thoughts? Anybody else not watched Star Trek ever? No, it was just, now, don't get me wrong, I like a few sci-fi, like Star Wars, now you're talking, or before Star Trek, hello, Lost in Space, come on, bring it, that was the show. Anyway, so the other commands in this list of 10, all, of course, contain implicit or implied promises, but this one, live long, how to do it, and prosper. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And it's tied to these words, to honor your father and mother. D.L. Moody, does the name ring a bell to anybody? He's a man of yesteryear. He's with Jesus today. But in the day, he was attached to the school bearing his name, Moody Bible Institute. He was a pastor. And he said this about this command. You may not always be able to obey this command because the day comes to most people when mom and dad are gone. Now you could say, well, no, I've heard people stand at their graveside and they reconcile there. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. These words, honor your father and mother, are in the verb form, which means it's an action today. It's something that you can, and with God's help, you must do. It's God's recipe and requirement to live long and to prosper. Now we're ready to read them. We always start at verse 1 in this study of the Ten Commandments because it's an important setting point. God spoke all these words. This was not Moses' idea. Hey, we better get a list that holds people under our thumb. No. Though these people were brand new and on their own in this. Not on their own. God was with them in the fire and in the cloud. But they were on their own heading toward the land God promised them. And God spoke along the way these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That's a point of reference that needs to be included in every one of these commands of love, these laws of love. Now verse 12. So honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. They have not arrived yet. They are en route. And God is saying, here's something you got to get settled, and get it settled now, because when you get to that land, I don't want you to be there a few weeks and tip over dead. I want you to live long, and I want you, while you're there in this land I've called the land of milk and honey, let me give one word to it, label it the land of plenty. I want you to enjoy the plenty of that place. And one thing that's required, one thing that's essential for you to have what I want for you, is that you must honor your father and mother. Now, if I handed a microphone to most of you, you would have an explanation of what that looks like. Okay? Yeah, I get it, Pastor. I guess this is the shortest sermon you've ever preached. And you'd be right. You'd probably have a pretty good definition of what it looks like. So why the conversation? What else needs to happen? And it seems to me that the challenge isn't so much what that looks like, but why in some cases it's hard to achieve. Listen to this description. One writer, I think, very wisely says this. I'm not sure that it is of very much use attempting to define exactly what it means by honoring parents. So to a preacher who's preparing a message, you look at that and go, wow, it's not much use to try hard to define these things when it comes to honoring parents. He adds, where there is the heart to fulfill this duty, no definition will be necessary. But where there is not, no definition will be useful. That got my attention. Because suddenly I realize honoring mom and dad has more to do with the heart than the technique, the method, if you will. It's a heart issue. So with that in mind, let's just exactly define what does honor your father and mother mean. You ready to write something down? The least insightful thing I can say this morning, okay? It means to respect them. All right? It means to give weight to them. When somebody walks in the room that's real important, like right now, I didn't stage this, it would have been cool, it might have been special, and they wore an outfit that made them look like, finish my sentence, rock star, a president, an important philanthropist, somebody significant to you, let's put it that way. And if they walked in the center aisle and started down, and as soon as they caught your attention, you would double take and you would say to yourself, oh, and you would quickly nudge the person next to you and go, wow, look. And almost everybody would have that sudden moment of, oh, that person's a big deal. So on count of three, everybody pretend that person just walked in. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, Harry, nice job. Harry stands to his feet. You get a donut after church for that, Harry. That's good. So what we do in that is we give weight to is what we're doing. The definition of honor, the textbook definition, is to give weight to respect. To treat as important is what honor means. Remember, it's not so much about definition, though. Not one of you is going to leave here and go, whoa, I finally get it. It's to respect, or it's to, when somebody of honoring walks in my presence. It has to do not with definition, remember. It has to do with desire. Is it in your heart to do so? Now, that means we get to point to a particularly human problem. Every single one of us is capable of saying words of honor and not really meaning it. Okay? I got your attention? Got quiet? And God calls out that sin with these words in Isaiah. Think they're going to come up? There we go. Isaiah 29, verse 13. These people come near to me with their what? Mouth, words. They honor me with their lips. They say nice things. God, wow, you're important. I'm giving weight to you. I'm respecting you. But look at the deeper issue here, and God doesn't need help in noticing it. They do all of that with their mouth and with their lips, but their hearts are another story. They're far from me. So it's from the heart that God commands us to honor our parents. So with that in mind, let's talk about the Titan question this morning. Why? Here's the why question. Why honor our parents? And let me repeat myself. In order to pull this off, you're going to need help, like everything God says in His Word. So why honor parents? Let me give you three or four reasons, and let's talk about them a little bit, and then we'll head our way. Because, first of all, God knows our hearts are actually disinclined to do so. So God says, honor them. There's other places in the Bible you can find your way to a particular piece of counsel, and you say to yourself, so why is this given to, let me give you an example, pops in my mind right now. 1 Peter chapter 3 is counsel given to husbands to live with their wives in an understanding way. Fair enough? You know what I'm talking about? 1 Peter 3, I think it's 7 or something like that. That counsel's never given to wives about their husbands. All right? Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Wives, you get a pass. Is that what God's saying? What do you suppose He's saying? Maybe it's possible that for a husband, it doesn't come natural. It's not their instinct to go, I think I know her dress size. I know her favorite restaurant. I know what she loves to do when we go on vacation. Ask the average wife about her husband in those areas, and she will nail it, nail it, nail it. He looks good in that color. You wore that last week. You know, it goes on. She's got it dialed. She understands. He, on the other hand, is commanded to be that guy, to be a man that understands. All right? So here, our hearts collectively, men and women, are disinclined to honor, which is behind why God would say you're to honor your mom and dad. He knows that we're inherently self-absorbed. Listen to this. As children, we're basically selfish. We want everything to go our way. As teenagers, we think our parents are hopelessly ignorant and behind the times. I want to see one of you teenagers nudge mom or dad right now, okay? Hold on. As young adults, we become consumed with the responsibilities of work and marriage. We're busy. We're preoccupied, consumed with all that. There's one more. As middle-aged adults, we view the needs of our aging parents as wearisome burdens that infringe on our hard-earned freedom. I heard my dad say, uh-oh. Some do, not all. So I have a question for you. Did I touch on who you are there? Where are you in this description? Are you a child and you're demanding at this point in your life? It's about me. It's about what I want. Are you a teenager? You're checked out. You're busy with your friends. They matter more than mom and dad. Their counsel, their advice, their suggestions, you drop what you're doing. Mom and dad, not so much. Let's go a step further. How about young adults? Your plate's full. You got stuff going on. You're trying to set yourself in a career path. You're trying to get after buying that first home. Doing the stuff that's natural, but it's your excuse for kind of being disinterested in this command. And let's just make it personal. How about people that are my age? You're kind of ready to be done with duty, right? So God issues a command to address this core problem, and it's true in all four of those people I mentioned. It's called selfishness. And he says, look, if it's not in your radar to do so, honor them. This isn't a message just for Father's Day in June or Mother's Day in May. This is all the time. Give honor. Give weight to. Respect. That's my first suggestion on why God would say it. That answers at least for some part of the why question. Here's the second why question. Because God knows that honoring parents is a preview to honoring others, including Him. Why would God say honor parents? Because God makes a connection that honoring parents is the starting point to honoring others, including Him. Let's just make a quick inventory. What's the next authority that we tend to encounter in life? First authority is mom and dad, right? What's the next one for most? Teachers, okay? And I'm probably not a good guy to talk right now because I had issues along the way. And there were times when I didn't want what they had to say. And I disagreed. And I made my point known. And then my parents had to get me back in school. By the way, right after teachers comes what for most? An employer, a boss. I have a friend who got the epic job. He didn't have the credentials. He was the guy you'd go, you're kidding me. How did they hire you? If you felt like saying that, and you'd be correct. He gets this job, the job that's the dream job, right? How long did he last on that job? Less than one day. Before the morning break, he got fired. Want to know why? Ask me this week, I'll tell you. Anyway, so let's move. Showed up at 8:30. The boss said, as an illustration, see this thing? It's called a watch. And we start at 8 o'clock here. My watch tells me it's 8:30. That means you're late. And my friend said, I get here when I want. How'd that work? I asked my business owner friends. He said, you know what? I don't think you're going to need to be here till the morning break. Pack it up, Jack. Couldn't honor his... See the problem? By the way, that same friend was horrible in the way he treated his parents. It goes clear back to there. I have no idea how he did in school, but I got a pretty good guess. He was lousy at it. That's why he didn't finish. Hold on, I'm not done. What comes after boss? The most, what's that? Spouse? Sure. You know, honor and respect them? Eventually we find our way to who? Absolutely. Comes to God. And without flinching, the Bible places honoring others before God's people. Because eventually it finds its way to Him. I'm going to show you two very jolting scriptures, and they're in our Bibles, by two different human authors. They lived roughly the same time, okay, or at least they ministered during the same time. Their names are the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. And the Apostle Paul, with alarming insistence, commands this in Romans chapter 13. He starts out, "Let everyone be subject to governing authorities." Now, if you're like me, you got your property tax bill this week. There's a bone in my throat, right? Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God, he repeats himself. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is doing what? He's rebelling, she's rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. As though that's not enough, the Apostle Peter nearly throws everybody in his first century audience overboard with what you're about to read in 1 Peter chapter 2. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Verse 17 is one of the toughest verses in the New Testament for some, especially ones that have a hard time honoring. He writes, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, and honor either the emperor, as it's worded here, or the king. Now, why is that so hard? Well, it's so hard because both apostles lived at a time when submitting to the king was the equivalent to saluting Hitler himself. Got your attention? The apostle Paul knew very well about Rome, who was that oppressive, occupying power. They were bad people. They were illegitimate people. And they were fully in control. Then the apostle Peter adds, in a much more personal tone, don't you sense, between those two? He adds the fact that the emperor, as he refers to him, let me give him a name. His name's Nero, and he was straight up evil. You kidding me? If we were the first century audience, we'd go, submit to what? That's just crazy. Yet the counsel to submit and honor was issued without apology. I want you to do something right now. I want you to think of a president that you don't respect. Don't say their name out loud, please. Okay? You're thinking right now of president whatever, okay? Nearly every president, I was stunned when I thought this one through. Nearly every president in my rather young life won by a margin of something like 52 to 48 or 53 to 47. The biggest spread of victory in my lifetime, it was 59, President Reagan, to, what would that be, 41. Am I close? Yeah, 59 to 41. You know what we called that victory? What's that? A landslide. Check out the word landslide. You will find there's no description. It simply means our guy whooped your guy. Beat the pants off his opponent. Okay? Now, why do I bring that up? I bring it up because Americans, for our entire history, FDR would be another exception, but for most of our history, the guy in the White House won by a 51 to 49 margin. That means half of the country doesn't want to stand up when he walks in the room. Darn near. And lucky you if you happen to be in the majority at that time. Now, why is that important to bring up? If you say to yourself, the guy in the White House is not my guy, and therefore, I'm not going to call him my president. And furthermore, if he walked in the room, I wouldn't stand up. And for sure, I wouldn't invite him over for dinner. Can I suggest something? I think God wants to do something in your heart about that sin. It's uncomfortable to say that, but I think he wants to address that. It comes down to this. You do not need to change parties. You can show honor and respect for the position, even if you don't respect the person. I say that because I'm not that guy that does that very easily. But I think this has connections back to parents and the counsel to honor them. So says the scripture. How so, Pastor? It's obvious to me. Some are deserving and some aren't. Now have I got your attention? Some of you all I'm sure some empty seats today because people see on Friday what I'm going to preach on. They're like, are you kidding me? What? honor your parents. That's number five coming. Nah, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to have an emergency at the coast or something, you know. Why honor parents? Here's the third thought. Because God knows how it feels to be dishonored. Isn't that interesting? Remember that string of people? Your parents, your teachers, spouse, job, all those people? Well, God's in that string. It's just the last one I mentioned. And he actually knows what it feels like to be dishonored. The Bible says hundreds, if not thousands of times, it refers to God as our heavenly Father. He knows what it's like to be dissed as a father. To not have a son or a daughter stand up when he walks in the room. He knows what that feels like. If you want, right in the middle of the great sermon Jesus preached, the Sermon on the Mount, which covers Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, take just chapter 6. You want a fun little exercise later today? Look how many times Jesus describes God as the Father in that paternal terms. And here's why I bring that up. We live in a day where there's a lot of bad parenting that goes on. There's a lot of undeserved honor, right? Parents that are, they're choking. They're not doing well. Moms and dads. Don't you think God knew that when he chose Father? When he spoke of it so unapologetically, I am your heavenly Father. It was presented by the worship team today in Luke 11 and elsewhere, Matthew 7, that if you're a human dad, and Jesus, to contrast, says, and you're evil, you give good things. Your son asked for a fish. You're not going to hand him a snake, are you? Scorpion. He asked for, you know, you asked for bread. He's not going to hand you a rock. If you know better than that, the contrast here is how much more does your heavenly Father take care of you? So God knows what it's like to be disrespected. There was a prophet, you know the name Hosea? He happened to be a prophet in the north, and the north was Jeroboam country, and it was going south, that's figuratively. It was losing its way fast. In fact, during his time as a prophet, Israel to the north, Samaria, their capital, was taken captive, and they were exiled, exported. They were driven out of their home to Samaria, okay, to Assyria. So it'd be like people coming in here and kicking us all out, and we have to go to Canada or Mexico or something like that. And during that time, God gives to Hosea some words that he wanted his people to know. These are words from a father that has not been honored. I have been the Lord your God ever since I brought you out of Egypt. Do you get the sense that God, that meant a lot to him to deliver his people out of Egypt and then eventually give them these laws of love? I think so. Back to the quote. I've been the Lord your God ever since I brought you out of Egypt. You must acknowledge no God but me, for there is no other Savior but me. I took care of you in the wilderness, in that dry and thirsty land. He's talking about feeding them and providing them water. But when you had eaten and were satisfied, you became proud and you forgot all about me. God knows how it feels to be dishonored and forgotten. So my question this morning, where are you? Do a DTR, define the relationship, you and Jesus right now. Do you dishonor him? Do you read those words and sense the sting of his words? Is God saying to you, it hurts me to be dishonored? Now, there's a piece of that I want you to apply to your parents. And one last reason. This is answering the why question, trying to bring it down to where you and I live. And I think it has to do because God knows how things turn out when we don't honor our parents. If he says, on the one hand, honor your parents and then you will live long and prosper. My title? It's more than my title. It's God's words. If he knows that that's the way for me to deliver on things like living long and prospering, then God knows also the other side of that, does he not? And therefore, he's legitimate in saying, you know what? You can't dishonor your parents and I'll still deliver on the live long and prosper. That makes me a liar. That makes me the God of 10 suggestions. The God of 10 cool ideas. But look, you know, if it gets in your way, just push it aside. It's the heart of the laws of love. Listen to this. Why should we honor father and mother? So that we might live. So that we might not be weighed down or taken captive by bitterness. So that we might not come to destruction. It's not a loving father. He doesn't want that for his kids. So that we might enjoy God's good gifts to us throughout the days of our lives. The Lord is saying, would you just do this? Would you honor the father and mother that I gave you? And if you do, things will be well with you. If you are careful to do this, I will honor you. I will bless your life. I will extend your life because I love you. However, I must also warn you. If you violate this command, it will affect the whole fabric of your life. So that's why. To honor our parents, that we might live long and prosper. I want to close with a confession. I know that there are a lot of people whose parents have given them very little reason to honor. As a pastor who counsels a lot of people in pain, very often, not all the time, but very often, the source of that pain is some kind of deep injury at the hands of a mother or a father or both. And so I see people today who, probably more than any other command, have more pushback on this command. Are you kidding me, Steve? God wants me to honor my parents when they did or when they failed to. I understand that. But I also want to tell you about more than a few people who I meet who have almost no reason to honor their parents. Thanks to poor parenting. There I said it. But with God's help, they found a way to honor them. And I got to tell you, those people I'm thinking of right now, they're whole. They're healthy. They're living well. And they're prospering. Harder for them than the next person? I'll bet. I tell you that because I don't know your story. And there's no command in the Bible where when I read the words of verse 12, I'm more inclined to want to clutter it with caveats. Honor your father and mother if. Finish my sentence. And God doesn't afford me that freedom, nor does he want you to go there. So I'd like you to bow your heads right now, as I know you're thinking about your journey as